Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going on this series about Christian Science. Is it Christian? Is it science? No, it's not either. Today we're going to start talking theology here. And, well, actually we already have been, but we're just going to keep going. So let's jump right in. I'm going to start with their view of the Trinity. And as I read this quote, I'm going to read a quote straight out of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy's book. I want you to think about how confusing her words really are, because honestly, I haven't read the entire book. I'll just be honest with you guys. I've skipped around in it, and I've read a lot of it. But the more I read, the more confused I get. And I just want to ask you guys a question. As you're listening to this, think about this. Is God the author of confusion? And really, this is confusion. Let's go ahead and read. I'm going to read Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, 331, verse 26. And we're talking about the Trinity here. It says, the Trinity is life, truth, and love. Life, truth, and love constitute the triune person called God. That is the triply divine principle, love. They represent a trinity in unity, three in one, the same in essence, though multiform in office. God the Father, Mother, that's what it says. God the Father, Mother, Christ the spiritual idea of sonship, divine science, or the Holy Comforter. These three express in divine science the threefold essential nature of the infinite. They also indicate the divine principle of scientific being, the intelligent relation of God to man and the universe. Belief in the traditional doctrine of the Trinity is polytheism. That last statement makes perfect sense, and what they're saying is they believe that as we see the Trinity, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons that make up one God, Mary here is saying that is polytheism. She's saying that God is one person, one office, one being, one essence. Does that make sense? And she's claiming that Jesus is just the Son of God, and Christ being a separate part of Jesus. Jesus, the man, Christ is the spiritual idea of sonship. Oh. Okay, well, we're not going to spend any time refuting it right here, but I promise you guys, we're going to look at this very closely. A few podcasts from now, we'll talk about this. I'm going to give you ample scriptures to show that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, Christ is called God, and the Father is God. Okay? So, just looking at it that way, we have one God, three persons. But anyway, we'll look at that closer, and we'll look at a whole bunch of scriptures that really round out the view of the Trinity. Yes, it is a very confusing concept. But it is what it is. It's what the Bible sets forth. It is what God is. And we just have to do our best to wrap our brains around it and, well, figure it out. So anyway, let's move forward. We'll talk more about this Trinity business a few podcasts from now. Anyway, creation. We mentioned this before. They believe that creation, all that we see, all this matter is an illusion. In other words, God did not create a material universe, but rather the creation is the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities in the mind of God. And that's straight from Mary Baker Eddy. We'll talk about that a little bit more later too. I just mentioned a moment ago that they don't believe Jesus is God. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy goes a little further here in her Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 361. She even says that Jesus himself declared that he was not God, but only the Son of God. She says on page 473, she says, Jesus is the human man and Christ is the divine idea, hence the duality of Jesus the Christ. Oh, and get this. She says that Jesus was conceived by the Virgin Mary's spiritual thoughts. So that's where they get their virgin birth idea. Jesus was born from Mary's spiritual thoughts. She says, Jesus, the Galilean prophet, was born of the Virgin Mary's spiritual thoughts of life and its manifestations. Oy vey. And on page 53 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, she says that Jesus was fallible. Now check this out. Again, as we're reading this, I just want to ask you guys, and I've asked this already, but again, is God this confused? In fact, is God this dumb? I just said dumb. Is God this dumb that he cannot write an entire Bible without just giving us the straightforward answers? Must God go this far out of his way to make things so cryptic in the Bible that for 2,000 years nobody can figure it out? And if that's the case, is God that cruel? Because now we have to suffer. This is Mary Baker's idea. For 2,000 years, we all have to suffer in pure confusion because we can't figure out that we're spiritual beings living in an illusion world with pain, death, and suffering, aging, and all of this that we have to deal with. We have all these illusions that we have to somehow overcome. And God has written an entire Bible and unfortunately wasn't intelligent enough to write it in a straightforward fashion where we could just figure it out. How hard would it be for God to write this sentence? Pain is an illusion. Four words. Four words. Now, God could have elaborated on it, but guys, I'm asking you, Michael Bohm, in all of his silly, unintelligent ways, can figure out how to write that in four words. And Mary Baker Eddy would have us believe that God cannot figure out or is too cruel to write it, but rather God has this entire Bible written with all these, well, what seem to be straightforward stories with incredible straightforward spiritual lessons, but really he was hiding his words from us. He really didn't mean what he was saying. He was actually trying to tell us something completely different. And it took 2,000 years after Christ's death for somebody to come along and tell us the truth and enlighten us. And then even worse yet, nobody believes her except for a very small group who, even worse yet, can't even get that right. Because guys, they get together every week and they talk about their healings. But 99% of those healings are all stuff you can't see. It's kind of like when you go to those faith healers who have people come up and get healed. It's always stuff you can't see. Nobody grows a new arm. Nobody gets a new eyeball. Nobody who has an amputated leg gets a new leg. Nobody with a massive scar has their scar healed. Nobody with no teeth in their mouth get a whole new set of teeth. It's all stuff you can't see. It's like, oh, my stomach ache went away. Oh, my back pain that you can't even prove is there is gone, and you can't even prove that it's gone. And then sometime soon after that, you come to realize that the person still has the pain, and sometimes people end up dying who claim that they were healed. It's a mess. And I have just gone on this long, rambling rabbit trail. But that's, you know, that's how I roll. So anyway, let's get back to it here. Mary says this concerning Jesus being fallible. She says, Jesus knew the mortal errors which constitute the material body and could destroy those errors. But at the time when Jesus felt our infirmities, he had not conquered all the beliefs of the flesh or his sense of material life. Oh, and the Bible does say this straightforward. Let me tell you. Can anybody show me in the Bible where this is just straightforward spelled out for me? Because I would really like to see it. And I'm not trying to be mean, but guys, come on. Where is this? Why do we have to wait 2,000 years for some woman to come along and explain this to us? I'll tell you this, because it's not there. Because Mary Baker Eddy made this up. She made this up. This is what you would call, or what the Bible calls, a doctrine of devils. And, you know, I don't like calling names here, but that's what we have here. She says that Jesus' ministry was basically consisted of correcting erroneous beliefs. Now, well, was it? Jesus did a fantastic job correcting erroneous beliefs. There's no doubt about it. But if she's trying to say that his whole ministry was correcting erroneous beliefs in the sense that he was correcting people's view of what reality was, what was illusory, and what death, pain, and suffering really is, well, then he failed. Because guess what? 2,000 years later, we still don't get it. But if his mission was to seek and to save that which is lost, to die on a cross, taking the punishment that we deserve, guys, Jesus died on a cross to pay for the sins, for the punishment that you and I deserve. And in that, and that was his mission, he was perfectly successful. I'm looking at the straightforward face value of what the scriptures say, not some strange esoteric round and about bizarre cut and snip version of the Bible. And I'm going to stop right there. With that, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave a comment, leave a question, and you can also catch up with me on Facebook. And, well, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.